KJAN, Radio Atlantic.
And at 8 o'clock, we have cloudy, windy conditions here in Atlantic, 65 degrees. Showers are starting to move out of the area for at least a little while, but they'll be moving back in as we have some heavier thunder showers off to our west and north of Interstate 80, right around the Missouri Valley area, crossing Interstate 29 over by Ottawa. These showers are pushing off to the east. Good morning, I'm Rick Hansen with KJAN News. In area news, Shelby County Emergency Management Coordinator Bob Seibert said yesterday that 2200th Street, just west of the intersection of 2200th and Shelby County Road M56, is closed now for repairs between Jefferson Townships 15 and 22 in Shelby County. That road will be closed during the construction process, which was expected to last about 5 days, depending, of course, on the weather. Emergency responders and others should plan to take alternate routes while work on the road is being conducted. If you have any questions, you can contact the county engineer at 712-755-5954. Seibert reminds emergency responders that it is illegal for an emergency vehicle as well as the general motoring public to violate a work zone. When approaching a work zone with an emergency vehicle, the recommended procedure is to stop and have the flagman or traffic controller clear the work zone prior to your entering it. Entering an unsafe work zone could result in your vehicle being disabled by a hazard being repaired or could result in you striking a worker who does not expect you to be there. The county work crews and contractors will make every effort to make your passage through that work zone expeditious and safe. Animal control officers had a hard time trying to corral cattle that got loose on a major freeway in Omaha on Thursday, and an Iowa cowboy came to their rescue. The JFK freeway was closed for more than 5 hours after the cattle truck overturned. Of the 57 cattle in the trailer, 44 escaped and stampeded away. Logan Allen, who lives near Council Bluffs, knows how to handle a horse and how to round up cattle. Allen said he wasn't exactly welcomed with open arms when he showed up on his horse, ready to work.
I don't know. They didn't really want us to come over and help at first because they says, well, we can't have civilians coming over and they get hit by a car. And I said, well, I'm not just some greenhorn. I says, I don't want you guys shooting the cattle just because you can't catch them. I said, I can catch whatever you got. So, yeah, I like beef.
Before moving to southwest Iowa, Allen lived in Texas and New Mexico. He said rounding up cattle on the highway was all in a day's work, and he says it's best to let someone with experience handle that type of situation.
Just go easy and gentle, because them cows, they just had a big old wreck, and they don't know what the hell's going on. And then to ask them to get back on a trailer after they get tipped over, that's quite a bit to ask for a cow. People call them dumb animals all the time, but they're brilliant, really.
Allen says the semi was hauling fat cattle, and they were used to seeing the horses.
They're actually better about horses than people. So if he's going to walk up to them, they'd probably no better a horse than a person, so they stay pretty quiet.
And while he has lots of experience rounding up loose cattle, Allen said this was the largest populated area that he has had a chance to play in.
Well, all I do is ride horses. I train horses for the public, and I can ride at home all day long, and it's the same for them horses every day, but you don't get to make horses like these unless you come do stuff like this. You can't sell a horse for a bunch of money if you just stay at the house and they don't ever see anything. We've asked quite a bit of these horses. There's drainage ditches all over and stuff like that, and they just keep on clacking along.
Allen did have to keep a close eye on the clock while helping authorities round up the cattle because he had to make it to South Dakota for a rodeo later in the day on Thursday. An ongoing operation to deter the sex trafficking of children netted 7 arrests Wednesday in Council Bluffs. Council Bluffs Police Sergeant Bob Christensen, who's with the Vice and Narcotics Division, told KJAN News yesterday that the prostitution sting, which was part of the Great Plains Lost Innocent Task Force, was conducted at a Bluffs motel with the cooperation of the Southwest Iowa Narcotics Task Force and the FBI.
We was trying to target teenage prostitution or child prostitution. What we do is we try and look at the ads to see if we can see young girls on there, and then what we do is we'll place ads and try to lure them into the room.
The ads he referred to were both online and those in print. Once in the room, he says most of the prostitutes or customers, both male and female, turn out to be adults. He says once money is offered or requested for a sex act, the persons involved are cooperative for the most part when confronted, but sometimes they're not.
You know, you got to have a sex act for cash, and most of the people that we're dealing with know this.
Sergeant Christensen said both male and female undercover officers are used in the sting. Taken into custody on suspicion of prostitution charges were 5 women, 23-year-olds Charla Mulcaff and Sienna Clemen, 25-year-olds Abigail Rodriguez and Jessica Mackey, and 24-year-old Courtney Evans, all of whom are from Omaha. 2 men, 59-year-old Timothy A. Jensen and 30-year-old Jeremy Jensen, who are no relation, were also arrested on suspicion of prostitution. Both are also from the Omaha area. Christensen said Wednesday's stormy weather may have played a role in how many actual perps and prostitutes they were able to nab, but he's still satisfied with the results.
Absolutely, and you know, we try and run one every couple months, you know. So, I mean, last few times we've ended up with like 10, maybe 10 arrests, but the weather was pretty rough that night, so a lot of things play into it. It wasn't payday for a lot of people. To me, you know, it seems like when you're through the week, it seems a little bit slower, especially for like the John's side. For the women, though, it's a totally different thing, you know, because they're getting paid.
In April, 17 people were arrested in a two-day operation also held in the Council Bluffs Motel. Christensen has some advice for those who seek prostitutes or those who offer sexual services for pay.
We're going to be running these operations, you know, all the time. So if you're doing this kind of stuff, you need to stop.
The main purpose of the sting, he said, is not to try to lure men, regardless of age, into the motels to arrest them.
We're really trying to target the people that are forcing the young girls under the age of 18 into prostitution. Those are the ones we're really trying to target because we need to get them some help, get them out of that business. And it's called sex trafficking, and it's all over. It's in Omaha. It's everywhere. And it usually starts around 13 or 14, if you can believe that.
In other news, railroad history buffs can check out one of the Union Pacific's historic steam locomotives in Omaha during the College World Series and then watch it return to Wyoming. UP is displaying steam locomotive number 844 throughout the College World Series in downtown Omaha. The display is across the street from the stadium. And the locomotive was delivered for the Union Pacific back in 1944. The engine pulled passenger trains at first, but in the 1950s was switched to freight duty in Nebraska. After the baseball tournament concludes, the locomotive will return to Cheyenne, Wyoming. But on the way home, it'll visit Council Bluffs next Wednesday, North Platte, Nebraska on Friday, and in Cheyenne next Saturday. Many rural Iowa communities are losing a valuable resource, that being attorneys. The State Bar Association reports it's a growing crisis as small-town lawyers are retiring and few are willing to take their place. Some small-town residents are struggling to get basic legal services they need to sell a house or draft a contract. Phil Garland, chair of the bar's Rural Practices Committee, says they're teaming up with the University of Iowa to place law students in rural areas this summer.
I think the trick is just to get the students here, but we're also expanding it to really try and encourage a lot of us in small-town Iowa to hire a law clerk in the summertime to really take a spin and see what life is like in a small town.
Some Iowa towns currently have no resident attorneys, according to Garland. He says Adams County now has just two attorneys, and several other rural counties have only three or four. The program is placing 8 law students in small towns this summer, with plans to add more students next year. Garland spoke on Iowa Public Radio's River to River program. In other state news this morning, a Polk County judge Friday refused to block the release of more emails from former Des Moines school superintendent Nancy Sebring to her lover. Judge Robert Hansen issued the ruling, and he's denied also a request that the man's name be removed from the emails. Sebring had sought a court injunction to block the school district from releasing emails she sent or received using her district email account. She argued the emails yet to be released are personal and the content is of no public interest. Sebring was hired as superintendent in Omaha, Nebraska. She abruptly left her Iowa job in May and lost the job in Omaha after those emails became public. The Iowa Supreme Court has disciplined a Cedar Falls juvenile court judge for a 2010 drunken driving arrest. The court concluded that 48-year-old Daniel Block had violated judicial ethics rules serious enough to warrant a public reprimand. Block had attended an evening charity event in Webster City in November of 2010 and was stopped for speeding and erratic driving. An open beer can and a glass containing whiskey was found in the car. His blood alcohol level exceeded the state's legal limit. The court found that while he was cooperative throughout and never tried to use his position to change the outcome, he violated the code of conduct rules designed to protect the integrity of the court. The court says Block's conduct was improper and unacceptable for a judge. And U.S. Census data shows that Iowa has been spending less than a national average on students in its public schools. Iowa's per pupil expenditure was nearly $9,800 per student, compared with the U.S. average of just over $10,600. District of Columbia Public Schools spent the most money, nearly $18,700 per pupil. Utah spent the least at just over $6,060 per student. The Des Moines Register reports that Iowa spending has increased over the years. However, Iowa Department of Education data shows the state spent more than $5,100 per student in the 1997-98 school year. And taking a look at world headlines at this hour, WikiLeaks founder Julian Assange spent another night inside of Ecuador's London embassy. He's trying to avoid extradition to Sweden, where he's wanted for questioning over alleged sexual assaults on two women. Ecuador's embassy says Ambassador Anna Alban is traveling to her country's capital to discuss the request. One of the more contentious political battles in Washington could be nearing an end. Senate aides for both parties say a deal to head off a big interest hike on student loans is in sight for 7.4 million college students. Aides say an agreement on the $6 billion could allow a vote next week. A transportation bill is also beginning to take progress. Airline traffic around the country suffered a double disruption last night. Violent thunderstorms along the East Coast and a fire at an airport technical center in southern New Jersey combined to cause the delays. The fire did not affect systems used to directly control aircraft. Taking a look at our funeral announcements this morning, Ronald Zike, age 89 of Atlantic, died Wednesday at the Heritage House. No services are planned, but a visitation for Ronald Zike will be held today from 10 until 11 o'clock at Hockenberry Family Care Funeral Home in Atlantic with the family present. Opal Beatty, age 92 of Oakland, died Friday at the Oakland Manor. Funeral services for Opal Beatty will be on Monday at 11 o'clock at the Wheeler Grove Church in Carson. Los Hills Funeral Home in Carson has the arrangements. Carrie Schmidt, age 87 of Audubon, died Thursday at Creighton University Medical Center in Omaha. Funeral services for Carrie Schmidt will be held Tuesday at 10:30 at Our Savior's Lutheran Church in Audubon. Kessler Funeral Home in Audubon has arrangements. Delbert Gaines, age 74 of Omaha and formerly of Atlantic, died on June the 4th. Funeral services for Delbert Gaines will be held June 30th at 11 o'clock at the Roland Funeral Home in Atlantic. Lloyd Schroeder, age 85 of Atlantic, died May the 23rd at the Cass County Hospital. A memorial service for Lloyd Schroeder will be held June 30th from 11 a.m. until noon at the Marney Methodist Church. Roland Funeral Home in Atlantic has arrangements. And Kay Hamlin, age 72 of Atlantic, died Friday at the Exira Care Center. Funeral services for Kay Hamlin are currently pending at the Hockenberry Family Care Funeral Home in Atlantic. That's a check of the news and funeral announcements on KJAN. I'm Rick Hansen reporting.